Well, as we listen to these gospel readings, and every week we hear about these apparitions, we know that these apparitions take place either on the first day of the week, what they call, or the Lord's Day, or the eighth day. And so what does that mean? It means that it's a Sunday. So these apparitions always of Jesus, when he appeared to the apostles, is always on a Sunday. And even in Apocalypse, the Apocalypse readings that we have, the book of Revelation, what does that take place on? The Revelation takes place on Sunday. That's the Lord's Day, when the Lord appeared to him. And so it's Revelation is basically based on the Mass, but the Mass isn't always as scary as some of the writings in Apocalypse or some of the things that we get feared from. But the thing is that always it's on a Sunday. That's why Sunday is such a special day, because it's the day of the new creation. Jesus died on Friday, rested on the Sabbath on Saturday, and rose again on Sunday. So he gave us this great ability to have the new creation within us through our baptism. So today we hear this beautiful reading about his apparition to the apostles on the shore of Tiberias, on the lake. And so as he appears to them, it's on another Sunday, as he says to them. And what happens here is apostles are going back to their old way of life. They're going back to fishing. And it's a beautiful thing to relate what's happening here. Remember, the first time that Jesus has an encounter with the apostles is on the lake as well, when they were fishing and they caught nothing. And what did he say to them in the first encounter? Throw your nets out onto the right side, and you will catch something. And they caught tons, so much fish, that it filled both of the boats. And that's where he first called the apostles. Now here we see this again, after his resurrection, the resurrection from the dead, and Jesus is there, and he appears on the shore, and he finds and he says to them, "Have you caught anything?" And they were fishing all night long, and they caught nothing. So what is the symbolism of when he said to them, throw your net out to the shore on the right side of the boat and you will find something? He doesn't say, "I suggest you to do it." He says, "I tell you to do it." And so Peter was a fisherman, wasn't sure who that man was out there, but he obeyed him. And then when they caught an overbearing, a great number of fish, they realized that it was Jesus Christ, as the apostle who loved Jesus, that Jesus loved, realized that it was Jesus out there. So when they caught this fish, this great amount of fish, it's something for us to really realize in this moment, the fact that when we are in our lives, in our everyday lives, and we're out there working in our everyday lives, when we're not allowing Jesus to be a part of our lives, our work becomes, I won't say useless, our work becomes not productive, doesn't bear the fruits that it could bear, the great fruits, if we're not having Jesus with us. If Jesus isn't with us and we don't do things in Jesus' name, then our work becomes fruitless a lot of times. Our day is a toil, and sometimes our day doesn't really have any meaning without Jesus. So when we have Jesus there, we allow Jesus and we work with Jesus, then our life has a lot more meaning to it. Hardships have meaning to it. Difficulties in our lives have meaning to it, because Jesus is there with us. And all those things, any types of suffering that we have, any type of difficulties we have, will bear fruit. It will bear fruit in abundance. And that's why they caught so many fish. They bore fruit in abundance and overabundance, because God's grace is overabundant and it's infinite. So we look at this reading here, and then when Jesus has that encounter with Peter, with St. Peter, he's got a charcoal fire there. And remember what happened with St. Peter. What was it when he denied Jesus? He was over a charcoal fire. And denied Jesus three times, that he didn't even know who Jesus was. And then so Jesus, we see this beautiful interaction with Jesus and St. Peter. And so this beautiful interaction, and Jesus asks him three times, "Peter, do you love me?" Okay. Now here in the English, we use the word love for both things. If you read it in Greek, it has two separate words for love. Actually, Greek has three levels of love. Many of you probably have heard that before. But in the Greek version, you'll see it has a play, and even in some English translations, they will show that difference there. So when Jesus says to Peter, he says, "Peter, do you love me more than these?" He's saying the highest level of love. He says, agapeme, and he says, more than these. And so, he's saying agape is the highest level of love that you can have. And then Peter responds back to Jesus. He says, "Jesus, you know that," and he uses the word philose. And then, so what it is, it's a Greek word that means a lower level of love. It would mean, "I esteem you highly," or "I like you a lot." And that's what it basically is. And so Peter's saying, "Well, Jesus, I do esteem you, but I'm not going to say that I love you so high, that at that high level that you're asking for." Why is he doing that? Because he knows his weakness. He knows that he is weak, that he has failed before. And he's afraid to say again to Jesus that "I love you" at that level that you want me to love you. And that level that Jesus wants him to love him at is at that highest level, that sacrificial level. You know, as one of my professors said, don't tell somebody you love them unless you're willing to die for them. Do not use that word love unless you're willing to die for that person. Because we use the word so loosely in our world, in our society, the word love. So this is the highest level of love Jesus asked him. So Jesus asked him again, a second time, "Peter, do you love me, agape me, more than these? Do you love me, Peter? And so what does Peter say? He says, "Lord," he says again, "I highly esteem you." Okay, or I like you a lot, but I'm not going to say that I love you at that high level. And then the third time Jesus asks Peter that question, that's why Peter was so hurt, because Jesus then brings it down to that lower level of love the third time. He says, "Peter, do you like me a lot? Do you esteem me?" And so Peter was hurt because Jesus dropped that level of love down to a lower level. And so Peter says, "Lord, you know my heart. You know that I love you." And so this is a beautiful interaction between Peter and Jesus. And so this is something we should look into our own lives. Are we ready and willing to say to God, if Jesus came up to us and said, "Do you love me more than these?" And when he says, "Do you love me more than these?" He might have said, "More than these people, more than your job as a fisherman. Do you love me more?" So he's bringing us to a higher level. What do we love? Do we love God above all things? Do we love God above all people? Do we love God? Or are there other things that are putting that obstacle between us and God for us getting into that deeper love of God? And it's something that we should really look at and measure in our lives. And you've heard me say it before, if you really want to measure your love for God, if you really want to measure how great your love is for God, measure how you treat one another, how you treat your friends, how you treat your husband and wife, how you treat your relatives, how you treat your mother and father. You could really measure it, or how you treat that homeless person that's out there on the street, even in your thoughts and your words and your actions. And how do we treat one another is our measurement of how we really love God. And so Jesus is asking Peter, not only is he asking him to love him more, he's asking him to feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Are there certain things within our Catholic faith? Are there certain things in our Catholic faith that we don't agree about? Are there certain things that the church is teaching? And when the church is teaching these things, it's teaching God's will in our lives. All the church is doing is mirroring and interpreting divine revelation. So what are some of the things that are hard and difficult for us that the church and the Catholic Church teaches? Because when it's hard and difficult, it means that we aren't there yet at that highest level of love, that sacrificial love that God is asking us to be at, because we are still in that selfishness and we aren't letting go and letting God in our lives. So let's take a moment and reflect on that as we receive this beautiful gift of Jesus Christ. So we have this deep encounter. We just had an encounter with Christ through the liturgy of the word. Now let's take another step and have that even deeper encounter with Jesus Christ. And as we receive him inside, are we excited? Are we excited, as I said to the kids this morning, And I said, are we excited, really excited about receiving Jesus in the Eucharist? Are we excited about being here at Mass? Are we excited about growing in our love for God? Are we excited about becoming holy and saintly in this life? Are we excited about bringing that Paschal light, that light of Jesus Christ, into the world today? Are we excited about that? And let us ask Jesus Christ, if we're not, ask him to please help us to really become excited about our faith and joyful about our faith so we could bring this joy of everlasting life to those in the world today.